teaching tips to support social-emotional learning.
Hey everyone, Stephanie Costello here, mom of three, wife, animal lover, and entrepreneur. My goal with this podcast is to share healthy intimacy skills. If you feel you are the only one struggling, I promise you are not alone. It's time to take action and make shit happen.
All right, everybody. I have Bree, a first grade teacher. She's been a teacher for 4 years. Fun fact about Bree is she plays the ukulele. And today we're going to be talking about teaching tips to support social emotional learning. I am super excited to have Bree on board to have this conversation, just with talking to her about her teaching and how she really cares about her students is so important. We're going to go into community morning meetings and other ways to really support that, bring that social emotional learning that students get from school into the home. And zero judgment on any parents. I know it may feel, this conversation may feel like a judgment, but it's not going to be. It's supposed to be tips about how you can really create the same environment that the kiddos get at home at school. So thank you for being here, Bree.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be here.
So I would, we kind of talked a little bit already, but I go right into your morning and how, or your, even your day at school and how you really integrate social emotional learning into your day with your students.
Yeah. So when my kiddos come in, I usually have some sort of activity for them to do out on their tables, and it gives them a chance to kind of settle in the morning. They get to interact with their peers and chat and, you know, just get more settled in for the day. And then we always start our day with a morning meeting. So we sit down, we do a fun greeting. A lot of times we'll like pass a ball around, or we'll take off a shoe and they have to greet whoever shoe they get. So we'll do a fun greeting. We always do some sort of a share. So, you know, how was your weekend? Or, you know, what's your favorite kind of ice cream? Like all sorts of just questions to get them open and talking with each other about themselves and, you know, learning more about each other and about me. We usually do some sort of a morning message. So I'll just talk about, you know, what our day is going to look like and the different things that we'll be doing. And then we always have some sort of calendar time. But morning meeting is really like the core time of the day where I really get a chance to, you know, interact with the kids in a more like, you know, one-to-one and personal way. So I do a lot of that, you know, with, for parents at home, I think, you know, sitting down either for breakfast or at dinner time and getting a chance to just chat about their day. I know things are crazy right now and most kiddos are home and a lot of parents are home with their kids. So they kind of know what they've done, but still, you know, checking in, like, how are you feeling about all of this? How are things going? And just getting some of that, you know, personal time together, I think is a really great way to work some more of that social emotional stuff in.
I think sometimes as parents, we have these expectations on ourselves of like, if we picture our time in first grade in our morning meeting, it was like 20 minutes long where we had to sit and really pay attention to everybody, where this can be like a 5 minute, if you see any structure in the day, a 5 minute conversation about how are you feeling? Did you have good sleep? Good morning with a smile, high five. I'm so excited to see you. Then a basic conversation of, you know, first you can play and then we're going to have lunch and then we'll maybe do a little schoolwork, like whatever the basic quote unquote structure is, and not to put pressure on ourselves as parents to be this teacher and this mom and all the other hats that we wear, to be able to, and when we show to our children, I almost said students, but to our children, that we are taking the time to care for ourselves and care for the other ones in the house, it expresses to them that they also, they learn that from us.
Yeah.
And essentially that's what your students are learning from you.
Yeah, for sure. And I will say too, like structure, I think is so important, especially right now, keeping some sort of like normalcy and things like that, you know, just trying to keep a normal structure to the day, I think is going to help the kiddos out a lot too and help that relationship as well. So,
you know, limited screen time. We all know screen time is really not healthy. Excessive amounts of it, I should say. And even your screen time can be structured. For us, we've been doing like FaceTime, and then the parents, me and the parents are like timing it right so that as the video that they're watching, like Cosmic Kids, which is a yoga, free yoga videos on YouTube.
Love Cosmic Kids.
She's awesome. Like the Frozen, it makes you want to do it as like, you know, your little child comes out when you're doing, what's that pose? I think it's like Warrior One or something. And she's shooting the ice out of her hands in the Frozen.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah.
I do Cosmic Kids a lot in my class. My kids love it.
Right, exactly. And my kiddos, when you're stressed out and you just want something to be on, sometimes I'll just throw like Lori Berkner, who's another really great music person, where the videos, there's kids that are actually up and jumping around and playing, and Melody pretends to play her guitar with the Lori in the video and stuff. But just these focused, structured, all it is hitting play though for you, for the parent, right? And the kiddo is able to watch. Some, they might need a little bit of redirecting depending on their age, but really if you're being a kid and you got a teenager with little ones, like you, their teenager will probably then be like, oh, this is fun because everyone else is having fun, right? So it's just this very basic tips on ways to stay intimately connected with your family and your siblings, and just having a healthy environment versus a stressed out, like tensed environment.
Yeah.
I do want to talk a little bit about your Filling Other People's Cup project. Tell me.
So there's actually a book, it's called How Full Is Your Bucket, I think. And it essentially just is a good way for parents to talk about treating other kids or other people with kindness. I use it at school. I usually do it at the beginning of the school year. The book does it really well explaining all of it, but it basically imagine a bucket on top of your head. And every time you do something nice for somebody else, you get water in your bucket. It fills up. And anytime you do something that isn't so kind, you're dipping from other people's buckets. So if somebody were to do something unkind to me, my bucket would empty. And so, you know, I think it's important to teach kids that their words and the things that they do have, actions towards other people, and, you know, always trying to work on treating others with kindness. And so I do that with them. And then, you know, like anytime throughout the year, if we're having a bit of a harder day or I see kiddos, you know, making some choices that might not be the best, I usually can just say to them like, hey, think about that so-and-so's bucket, and are you filling it or are you dipping from it? And usually all it takes is that. And they, you know, can think about what they're doing or what they're saying and make a change to do better.
Yeah, I'm obsessed, like literally obsessed. I cannot wait to read this book. I struggle with, and I'm sure several parents do, with communication sometimes. Like for a while, my communication was, I'm the boss, you're not, which is true. And then so we had to like learn when she could be the boss and when she can't. And in the morning, mommy's the boss. I set the rules, like you have to follow these instructions and then you can be the boss. Then you can go play and do whatever else you want. Right.
I think sometimes too, like kids can just be really, not to be mean, but they can be a little egocentric and only really think about themselves. And so it really explains it in a nice way that kids can understand, you know, that other people have feelings and the things that we do or say can impact those people. I mean, I've even taken it a step further some years that I've been teaching, where I've actually made little buckets for each of the kids in my class. And anytime a student or I would see somebody doing something nice, they could go put like a pom-pom or a bead into their bucket. And, you know, as a way of showing that we should always be trying to fill other people's buckets and not dipping from other people's buckets.
So. Reward system with it?
Not really. No, it was more just a visual for them to see, you know, like we want to try to fill up these buckets. We don't want them to be empty. And, you know, they could look at, you know, so-and-so, oh, Johnny, he doesn't have anything in his bucket. Let's do something nice to fill it up. You know, just kind of trying to teach them that it's good to do good things for other people.
And the rewards, the reason why I asked about the reward system is because it can be hard to get kids to be motivated constantly in the home to do their thing. So if you're rewarding them with filling, you know, their bucket or somebody else's bucket and rewarding them for their good behavior and for the, like I said, filling somebody's bucket, like that is going to motivate them to want to continue to do more. And it's very important that we lead as examples, as parents, yeah. as professionals in any setting. We are professionals. Parenting is it. Being a parent is a profession, in my opinion. I try to look at it as being a profession. So I hold myself to the same standard when I'm working. I'm not going to come out and say, to you, you know, I'm going to be like, hey, that wasn't really polite. You know, I kind of, that hurt my feelings or something like that. Right. And so I should speak to our children. We should speak to our children in the same way. Something else that I use often and I'm trying to reframe my communication is, you're being nasty. That, and so sometimes Melody will say to me, mommy, I'm being nasty. It's like, no, you're not being nasty. You're a good, kind girl. You're just having a hard time communicating right now. And I've had to reframe that like message that I was sending to her. So I love this fill your bucket stuff. It's just easy. It's not saying you, it's saying mm-hmm. this behavior is not an option. How can you make a better choice? Right.
Yeah.
In a very child way of understanding.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to chat about is your carpet.
Yeah.
So everybody knows, Bree did a fundraiser because she had a really ratty old carpet in her classroom, that kids would sit on, and she didn't feel like she was caring for her children well enough, her students. And so she did a fundraiser because we all know teachers don't make enough money, and they are parenting 30 some odd kids. Some of them, yeah. I don't know how many kids are in your class. And kids deserve to have a bright, clean place to come to school, and schools just don't have the funding. They don't really support teachers and providing the environment that the teacher desires. And so I loved seeing that picture, and I'm going to post it in the show notes, or probably as the picture, but it's like your smile. You were so in love with how your students were going to feel with the carpet. Like, it wasn't really the carpet. It was how the students were going to feel, and the intimacy yeah. that you were providing them, the emotional intimacy you were providing them with really expressing your care for them. And can you talk a little bit more about that emotional learning and how important it is and how we can reframe that in very basic ways as parents?
Yeah, well, so like the rug in my classroom is really like the center of our classroom. It's where we do like everything. It's where I read stories. It's where we learn new things. It's where we do activities and shares and all that kind of stuff. So for me, you know, having my kids come in and sit on a kind of a nasty, dirty old rug really just was, you know, bothering me. And I'm not the type of person who usually, you know, likes to ask for things or ask for help, because I don't feel like it's anybody else's job to do that. But finally, one of my coworkers was like, just do it, you know, give it a try, see what happens. So I did the fundraiser and it went amazingly well. I have an amazing group of people that are supportive and wonderful and helped me out with it. And it's been wonderful this year having a brand new carpet in my classroom. And like you said, I wasn't even excited about the carpet itself. I was excited about all of the things that was going to come out of having a new carpet that was clean and exciting and bright colors. And, you know, it's going to make the kids feel safe and welcome when they come into my classroom. And so, you know, it was really exciting to get that and have that feeling in my classroom.
And how were their reactions when they saw it?
Well, I mean, I got it over the summer. So, you know, a lot of my kids that I had last year, because they come back and visit me lots, you know, the first time they came into my room, they're like, wow, so much is different in here. And the first thing they noticed was the carpet. They're like, you got a new rug. I'm like, I know, isn't it wonderful? So, you know, my kids that have come back to visit me, they've definitely pointed it out and noticed it. And my kids this year, they don't really know a whole lot different because they didn't have an older, grosser rug, but I can definitely, you know, sense that they love the classroom. You know, they come in, they're smiling, they're excited, they're, you know, ready to start the day with me. And I think it really is because we have like such a nice spot to just come sit and be together and spend time together. So
how can we recreate that nice spot of studies show if you give 15 minutes of undivided attention in the morning or at some point throughout the day to the child, their emotional support and ability to regulate increases significantly. So how can parents easily have a spot in the house where they go and sit together with a child or children?
I mean, I don't even know that you'd need like necessarily a spot. I mean, I do think it would be nice to have that. But I just think that, you know, taking, like you said, 15 minutes to go read a story together, or to play a game together real quick, or, you know, just to sit down and chat. I think that it's so important. And, you know, again, not shaming parents or anything like that, because your job is so hard. But I feel like it doesn't happen a lot. You know, we all get home from school and work and we're tired, and we just want to, you know, eat dinner, go to the, you know, get ready for bed, and that's that. And I think if you just try your best to carve out a few minutes every single day to have some one-on-one time with your kiddos, it's going to make such a huge difference in your relationship with them, and, you know, how they're viewing the world and feeling in the world, and able to communicate how they're feeling in the world. So, you know, I do think it would be nice if parents and kids could have their own little like one-on-one spot to go to. But I don't know that's always really able to happen in every, you know, home or setting or environment. So.
So even if it means getting up 15 minutes early to go gently wake up your child or snuggle next to them in bed while they're waking
for sure,
so that they see and feel and, you know, and the in relation to intimacy, that would be physical intimacy. Intimacy is, depending on the relationship that you're in at that point, it's different for every relationship. So obviously how you're going to be physically intimate with your partner and physical is different from sexual, versus how you're going to be physically intimate with your child. Like cuddling with your child, that is that very strong connecting and bond that the children deeply, deeply need in their day. So
you'd be surprised how many cuddles I get at school too with my students. I mean, it's insane. I'll sit on the floor and play a card game with them, and I have two kids scooped up on either side of me, just nuzzled all in, like, yes, I'm here.
Like someone, a big bear hug is going to keep me safe, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for your time. I think there was so much great information in this conversation to be shared with the world. And thank you for listening. Like, comment, share, subscribe, do all the things. And I will look forward to staying connected and connecting everyone. If anyone has any questions that they would like me to send to Bree, please send them my way. I would gladly do so. Have a good day.